Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
We are in March. March Madness.
Yes, it is. We got some sunshine.
Oh, man. Felt good.
Yes, it do. It's feeling good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Hopefully, they say we're going to get in the upper 50s this weekend and maybe do some outside activities for a change, man.
I'm telling you this. In the spring, when you drive on the highway, it's a good feeling. Especially if you got like a little sunroof where you can roll the windows down. That's when you can go on the far drives.
Yep. You be riding, and it's like, I talked to people last night that went down to the Kalamazoo game. And they said, man, that was a quick ride. Yeah. You know, normally, you know, we have the challenge of potential snow and all that stuff. But, no, man. We may get one more, but hopefully we are on our way to spring for real.
Yep, give us some rain.
Yeah, give us some rain. Clean up this snow because, you know, this time of the year, it looks bad.
Yeah.
Right, when that fresh falling snow, it looks pretty. Okay, even though we just test going out there moving it,
yes.
It does have a nice look to it, man. But, yeah, so many things happen in March.
Yes,
a lot of stuff happens in March, man. And one of them is basketball.
That's right. One of them is basketball. Starting off, I mean, basketball was big. It's a pre-recorded show. But we done had Michigan play Michigan State for the second time. And I can guarantee, even myself, thought Michigan State was going to handle Michigan at the Ann Arbor. Unfortunately, I'm going to say this. Even though Tom Izzo said some things right, he should have held his mouth closed because they bust our head wide open to the white meat.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you just kind of like, don't poke that bear in the eye. Let him, you know, like they said, let a sleeping dog lie. So, yeah, they was a little bit upset about the comments about their coach, man.
Yeah, they was. I mean, man, we ain't had a butt kicking by Michigan like that in a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give them a lot of credit. But then now, you were coaching against a strategy that was not the regular for Michigan.
Right.
And see, Tom Izzo, a coach that stays within tendencies.
Yep.
He doesn't let his players play because he wants to say, I'm manipulating the play and the defense to the expectation of the history of the programs I'm playing. That's why you play conference ball. So you say, oh, they run this on this. They run this to this person. But then,
yeah. That's why you see a lot of splits, right? Because you play home and away in conference. And a lot of times that's what happened. They split. Rarely do teams, you know, beat the same team twice in the conference.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to beat somebody twice.
It might happen in the playoffs, well, you know, because of the conference playoffs. But, I don't know what it is. Well, because State has been so up and down lately. You know, last weekend.
We beat Purdue.
Beat them. Hands down. Looked really good. A lot of energy. And then, well, they've lost 5 of the last 7.
Yep.
Something like that. They made a lot of wins in the first part of the season, which is going to help them make the tournament, right? Izzo's kind of the guy that the tournament likes him for whatever reason, and he's just got to have almost a 500 team. Other 500 teams won't make it. They won't get a bid. But Izzo, I guess he's a part of that fraternity. He's going to get a bid.
I'm going to say this. It's a team out there right now that I don't want that anybody that think they're good and they fall to a 7-8 game. You don't want to see a team like Murray State.
Them Racers.
Ooh, them boys.
The Racers,
them
man.
Studs. I don't know how they recruited them boys. Lower level D1 looked like an NBA team.
Yeah.
And Davidson.
Davidson's always.
4 years. Nice.
A team that you got to look out for, man.
Four averaging 22 points a game. Tom Izzo cussing him out every day. He had Davidson. Three. Off the screen. Still not playing no defense. But the way the coach at Davidson, he know how to hide him.
Yeah.
In his defensive schemes. And he got the athletes and he put them in around him. And it looks like a great concept. Like, I know you got a liability on defense, but I need that 3-point shot you got. You got to shoot that at the clip at 50% and you're going to get 22 points for me. That Davidson coach something different.
Yeah. See, he takes the players and plug them in and create a system.
And that's how Curry got drafted into Golden State. He got drafted into a system.
Right.
Yep, you're right.
You know, versus a lot of coaches will force you into their system versus taking your talents and skills and then develop a system that'll accommodate those talents and skills.
Right. Right.
And a lot of guys, you know, they don't do well in those programs, and that's they'll leave. You know, football the same way.
Yeah, and they got the opportunity. Yeah. You know, we had community college had basketball. I think they played Kalamazoo. They won. They're in the playoffs. And then I see the finale. I watched the whole finale. I had two screens going on the computer.
Okay.
And the television. Right. So I'm.
Basketball overdose.
My wife said, "You don't even watch basketball. This is a long time." I got my nephew playing on the team at community college. I'm watching Michigan State, and I'm going back and forth with Muskegon. I'm watching Muskegon's whole game. And they end up losing to Kalamazoo by 6 points. But I do want to say this. Muskegon's team is right where they need to be.
Yep.
If you're going to gauge a squad where that plays in a conference, that's not to their caliber, I would say.
Nope.
It's not to Muskegon's caliber. Because the expectation in the program is either championship or bust.
Yes, sir.
Right? So it's like, if you ain't posting the banner, you have a failure at Muskegon. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
All sports. If you're not posting the banner, if nothing ain't going in the Raptors, you didn't do nothing.
We play for trophies.
Yep. So I gauge Coach Guy's season off of these four games. This is me personally. Ben Harper, Grand Blanc, Ferndale, Kalamazoo. So now what you said earlier, that's a split.
Yeah.
2-2. At home, did great. Two games. Shot clock, adversity. You won that game easily.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you're letting your players play freely in your system.
Yeah.
Playing freely. I saw that last night. Grand Blanc, another one at home you won. Now let's do it like this. Ferndale, we lost that one. They came out with element of surprise on us.
Yeah.
Right?
Same margin of victory of Kalamazoo. It wasn't didn't get blown out.
It was less than 10 points. It was less than 7.
I think it was six, something like that.
Same thing as Kalamazoo. So I would say, if somebody said, that's on the coach. No, when you had 6 points or less, that's one decision. That's a rebound. That's
some free throws.
Free throws. That's a turnover. Where the tendency of your team, you're like, I trusted y'all guys to do this. And they made one mistake or something, two or three, that was out of their character.
Yep.
And that's not on the coach. So that's the second one, right? So then we get to the one we won, Grand Blanc, former champion.
Yeah, they're defending Division I champs.
Played Ferndale, beat Ferndale.
Overtime. Yep.
Muskegon plays Grand Blanc. They beat Grand Blanc overtime, right? Yep. Had a 16-point lead. But still managed to regroup in adversity, win that game, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at the finale with Kalamazoo, and myself being a former coach, I look at it at this in this space. I got the kids right where I want them. Because now they lost a game at the end of the season.
Ooh, best place.
Now it's time for you to listen to me all the way.
Yep.
Because the four games I put in front of you were basically gauges to see where you were at. So watching Kalamazoo last night, like you said, they came over for the Christmas tournament. They was weak at the Christmas tournament.
I didn't think they were that great.
Yeah, they were weak. They was cream puff, like you said. But I did see one thing that the coach did. He let the point guard use number two go for his in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So that affected our strategy. They was just playing loosey-goosey, just doing whatever they wanted. Senior night, crowd. And he just got into a good flow.
Yeah.
But he was an exceptional point guard.
I don't know
if I can catch him again.
That was probably his best game of the season.
And that sparked everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? Because I watched the JV game, and the JV team in Muskegon won by like 40 or something.
Yeah, that JV team is awesome. Well, you know, Keith's got a young team. If you watch senior night, he had three seniors, man.
Yeah, he got everybody coming back. So that's why I say I look at the impact of him scheduling games intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
To gauge his squad so that he could break down the film of those four games and figure out how did he teach growth, how did he turn the page on the chapters that they're building for their season. Because for me to have a successful season with a coach of his caliber is, are we in the region? Are we in the regional final game?
Yeah.
So if we make the regional final game, and being in one myself, I know this. Kids win that game.
Yeah.
The championships, the two regional finals championships, regional championships we have as girls coaches, is this. We didn't win that game.
Okay.
Them kids won that game.
They won, yeah. I was
coaching
there.
Coaching gets you there. The scheduling gets you there. The conditioning gets you there. You build the mindset. But I could tell you, for both of those years, it took a shot to go into overtime, and one of them took a steal and an amazing layup by a player to realize that I got to get our team to a next space. So now Coach Guy is looking for some of that same magic from his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, for me, it's revenge for Grand Haven.
Yeah, yeah, because he's gonna get two games at home, right?
Yep.
He'll play Wednesday. He'll get a bye Monday night. He'll play Wednesday, and then the championship is Friday.
At the crib. So then, now the discrepancy is, who the referee is coming from?
Oh, no doubt. He knows that, and I think his players understand that too, because even last night, I think there was some calls that we didn't get, and there's some calls that we didn't deserve.
That's right.
And when you're on the road,
you want the ones you didn't deserve.
Yeah.
And I saw that. They made a great comeback. I saw that.
Oh yeah. That game was still in doubt in the last minute, right? Yes, we still had a shot to win.
Got down to four.
Yeah. So you know, I think when you look at the whole scenario, it laid out perfectly. He'll get these two games, then he has to go on the road for the regionals and see what happens. But I think his team also learned a lot by playing that last game on the road in Kalamazoo.
Oh, and that crowd was hype.
Oh, man, yeah.
I watched the video. They was dancing.
Very electric.
And it was fun. It was a fun game to watch. And I didn't feel bad about the Big Reds losing that game.
No, I did not. Because I've seen things that were uncharacteristic. You know, Stanley Cunningham the other night missed no free throws. He was 100% from the line. Last night, couldn't hit one, right? So those are the kind of things, little short shots under the basket we normally convert.
Chippy layups, yeah.
Yeah.
We usually dunking them. I seen the Hill kid dunk a couple last night.
Yeah. So, like you said, I did not feel bad.
And then that was Maurice's first game back, too.
No, Maurice did come back, and he didn't – he played because it was senior night.
Yeah.
He played a little bit. But I noticed during
that
the game –
that was a real competitive game.
Yeah.
East don't count.
He had to soak his feet, and then – coach wanted them all to go back in for the final goodbye, so he had to resock and reshoe up, and then went back on the floor, came right back out. So I still don't think he was quite 100% yet. Okay. So just a little stretch, okay? So they don't play now till Wednesday of next week. So he's got another week just about in order to get ready. So it's going to be fun.
To iron some stuff out. You're right. So speaking of not going to be fun, but this is a financial show, and we're in a space where we got a World War III on our hands, but we got some sanctions laid out on the country to say, hey, you better lighten up, because you're affecting our global economy, G7, with Swiss Bank, everybody's coming in Russia like, look, do this, you're not going to have nothing. You're not going to be able to use your ATM card, your people, your citizens.
Oh, they shut them down. They froze all the assets. The oligarchs, call them, who are the billionaires of Russia, they even shut their currency flow down. The ruble, which is their equivalent to the dollar, down 30% in value. So, Russia, they have a retirement plan too, right? They have 401ks too. And those people have watched their 401ks deplenish and hasn't stopped, okay? And, this thing is so much tied to economics.
When you look at, I saw the other day with Ukraine being invited into Europe, like being able to be part
of
the
EU, right?
Yeah, they said, come on, we're good. Y'all good. Y'all can be with us now.
That's a part of what?
That's a power move.
Putin doesn't want, right?
That's a power move.
Yep.
We take your guys. Yeah, y'all got an economy like a city in New York. Come on, bring that on here. Y'all doing pretty good. This democracy, we like this.
Right, they do, because he talked about the reason that they went in is because of genocide. Right, they killing people, what have you. Well, you're doing the same thing, partner. So, and the world has basically united, right? They have united around this effort to put pressure on Russia because they felt this was an unwarranted, unprovoked attack on a sovereign state.
Yes, sir.
Of the Ukraine. And they're fighting a financial war, right? He's already brought the threat up of nuclear war.
He's trying to get too close to their Kyiv so he can get to their resources.
Right. Well, they said potentially, his next move would be Poland. All right. If he's successful in taking over this parcel of land, it's next to Poland.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of, Tony? Excuse me. This reminds me of the Holocaust. I wasn't around. I wasn't born. But you're looking at Poland and some of these same regions, and then the leader of Ukraine is Jewish.
Yeah.
So it's like, is it an attack on, not on democracy, but on diversity?
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. It has definitely been mention that this is a form of, you know, racism, okay, because that's what it is. It's racism.
What I'm proud about the people in Ukraine is they're not scared.
Oh, my gosh, man. These Ukrainians.
They're tough.
They, you know, man, like, they laying their life down. And that's,
I ain't going nowhere.
No, they standing up in front of tanks and, you know, Molotov cocktails. And, you know, they're throwing rocks and sticks. So they didn't expect that. That's why they sent that massive army. And then they sent in airplanes, what have you. And the Ukrainians, they just kept fighting back, man.
If I was listening, I love you guys get NPR a shout out.
Yeah, you know that's our station, man.
I was listening to a general or a sergeant of the Ukrainian army, and he said, hey, look, if you want to help, send some missiles, send some stuff for the air, because we ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Don't feel sorry for us.
Nope.
We got this.
Yeah.
Their own dialect, but I heard it, and I was like, ooh, I got to respect that.
Yeah.
We're trying to make sure we have this global economy, that we helping people thrive, everybody thrive. It's not about a dictatorship.
Nope. It's a democracy.
Yes, it's about the bottom man can be the top man. And it's about the top man showing the bottom man how to connect. And that's what I see Ukraine is in the fight. Like, if we give up, we're going to go back to our old days globally.
Yeah.
Nope, we're not giving up.
Nope. And now they're going to die for their cause. They're going to lose their lives. And, you know, the most interesting part of this whole conflict is that there are millions of cameras, right?
Yeah, everywhere. They all over. They come.
Okay, they're showing people with cell phones, right? That becomes a camera in this world today. We're seeing things that we would never have seen 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
You can't lie.
And this brings the truth, right? This allows people to believe what they see and not so much about what they hear. And that's what I think has galvanized this world, that now I can actually really see what these people are enduring. And it's wrong, and we need to support them in any way we can. And it's taking it on so many levels: athletes, stars, corporations. Apple just said, hey, we're shutting down. We're not doing any business. If you got an app, you might as well throw it away, because it won't
just
be able to work.
A credit card, like, it's over.
Yeah. Okay.
You're in Russia, you can't use your credit card.
Can't use your credit card. There's been a run on the banks, ATMs, because the people is losing the value of their money. They want to try to get as much cash as possible. Well, it's limited. So not only are the people of the world kind of resounding of disapproval, but the people of Russia itself. They've had demonstrations within Russia where they know, right? If you demonstrate in this country, you're going to wind up in jail. But they're willing to risk that because they know what's right and what's wrong, man.
Yeah, I want to say this. So, thinking about Russia, and they got a lot of investment in the Western world, right?
Yes, they do.
They invested a lot of commodities and things that we have in our country, in our region of the world, right? So, and from a local level, what is the effect on our economy, not only in Michigan, but in our region?
Well, when you think about some of the numbers, because, you know, we are a global economy. You know, we hear that all the time, global economy. I have some statistics about Russia. Russia supplies 41% of the natural gas to the 27 nations of the European Union, which you spoke of earlier, the EU. And 25% of the region's crude oil. Revenue from Russia's crude oil and natural gas productions generate more than 40% of the country's total revenue. That is absolutely amazing for people that hasn't been able to draw the correlation between the price of gas and Russia. Why does the gas prices rise because of Russia, what they did in the Ukraine? Well, they're a big player in the world market. It's just not the Saudis. And it also goes ahead to say that the Russian government is the number two global producer of natural gas and number three global producer of crude oil.
So then, now we're at a global economy. Let's get to this local level, this regional level, this state level. So when we talk about Governor Whitmer talking about, hey, we're going to get more electric trucks.
Yep.
More
green energy.
Green energy. We're going to have more chips being manufactured.
Here
more
in the United
States. Automation. We're going to figure out how to build this this transit train system. So now we're moving away from this crude oil and natural gas dependency and saying, hey, we good. We're going to put sanctions on you. You're going to lock you out. And we're going to be in a whole nother form of energy we're going to use that's going to save us tons of resources.
Right, because the supply of gasoline is the direct correlation between the consumption. Okay, the reason they raised the price of gas, you know, today was almost $3.80, is because we have no other source. Right, if you're driving an electric car, you're driving by the gas station. You could care less what the price of gas is as it pertains to your vehicle.
You're getting 300 miles per gallon off a charge.
Yeah,
all 300 miles. All your bars filled up, you're getting 300 miles.
So we all know that this economy is predicated on how goods and services move. Unfortunately, because of the price of gas, trucks that bring food to the grocery store, to the warehouses, there's an increased cost, right? Because now the truckers have to pay more for gas. The companies that supply those products, they have to pay more to the truckers. So therefore, we've already dealing with inflation. So it's like pouring gasoline on the fire.
Yep, and I'm going to say that. Like, I'm glad that's a great segue, because when you think about going back to Afghanistan and Iraq, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's 66,000 people that helped American citizens that are stuck in Afghanistan that can't get out. And they call in the email in America like, hey. But then I'm going to say this. A lot of times we create our allies and our enemies.
Yes, sir.
So when you find out this resource is too expensive. So did Putin know that he was like, I got to go and make myself an enemy because I got a resource that might be obsolete. So I need to go on and just go and strategize now, because they might try to do the Saddam Hussein to me. They might try to treat me like Bin Laden. I mean, it's deeper than what we can actually
think about it.
Okay, you no good no more. We about to go to this global thing where we using renewable energy. We got electric vehicles. You charging too much. So now you're out of there. But then he made the first move because he had an old ally in 45.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, your old ally gone. He done put all his resorts and everything in your country. And you done made this great deal with him. And you only got 4 years out of the deal because he kept everybody from coming at you and exposing you for the money laundering you've been doing.
Okay.
So this game is a lot deeper. So he just making the first move because he like, if I don't make the first move, they're going to come in. They've been sanctioning us anyway. All our billionaires, because they found $32 billion that unaccounted for. Yeah. Hold up, how you got all these billions? Where is money coming from? So now he made his first move.
Yeah, graft and corruption has always been a part of that regime in Russia.
Yes, sir.
So,
the dark internet, the dark money. I know they're killing it in the crypto game with the drugs and everything else. So they like, oh, they trying to expose us. Let us be a dictator and go find somebody to attack to start something.
Yeah, we got to divert. We got to divert everybody's attention away from what we're doing.
They the same country with the malware, with the spyware.
Oh yeah, the ransomware. That's where they all come from, man. But now I heard today on NPR that a lot of those other small pockets around the world, they are now using those skills and tactics against the Russians. Right? They're actually going after their infrastructure to slow down what
Russia's
they do.
Economy, yeah. They're using their own forces against them.
Right. You know, again, it's because people see the devastation of what is happening in Ukraine. All right? We said we was only going after military targets. Well, we have pictures of you bombing
schools. Kids.
Hospitals.
Citizens.
Yeah, innocent citizens. So, no, you just changed the rules. So if you change the rules, then we got to make some changes in what we do. And now he's feeling the heat, man.
He looking like, I'm going to say this word here, he looking a lot like Hitler.
Okay.
A lot like Hitler over there.
He idolized Hitler, matter of fact.
He about to be about in the game.
He idolized Hitler. So, unfortunately, you know, a lot of lives are going to be lost. over 500,000 people have already fled the country, in which were most of them are women and children, because they told the males, you can't leave, you got to stay.
Get your passport and your gun.
So they're at the border of Poland trying to get in, and ultimately a lot of those people are going to wind up in this country, right? So, and that's only a small portion. So I think the total population of the Ukrainian area is somewhere in the area of 5-6 million people. And they're going to find somewhere to go, because even after this is over, the town, you know, their infrastructure is so badly damaged, it's going to take years, even if Russia occupies it, in order to make it a viable country again. There's billions of dollars that's got to be spent to rebuild the infrastructure, the roads, the bridges, the power units, okay, the housing. So it is going to be a complete mess for the next 10 to 15 years in Ukraine.
So that's, you're right. Like, once you think about starting a war, you set a country back 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you occupy it. You know, if they talk and negotiate, and I really can't wrap my arms around what the negotiations would consist of if we've already came in and attacked you unprovoked, what's going to come out of it for us to back off? Okay? What's the chips? What's the leverage here? That's the part I wrestle with. You're just going to back out now and then go back, everything is normal? I don't know. That just don't feel right, man.
Yes.
I know we're about to close, but I found an interesting tidbit about baseball.
Okay.
Because we know baseball is in the midst of a lockout.
Yes, they are.
Millionaires.
What's the deadline?
Deadline's passed.
Oh.
Deadline is passed because now they're saying that opening day is always sometime early April. Not going to happen. So, even though the average salary for a Major League Baseball player is $4.17 million on opening day of 2021, 62% of the baseball players in the league on opening day were making less than $1 million. And 35% was making less than $600,000. That's the beef. There's a few players, like it's almost like in football. Yeah. There's a few players in baseball
minimum
that's making
wage,
all the big money.
Yeah, and it's a large group making minimum wage.
Yeah. And they gave a stat. What team is it? Oh, man. It was like the Baltimore Orioles. And they took a player off the team, like the Yankees, and they said the Yankees played this one player more than the entire payroll of the Baltimore Orioles.
They right, it's around, like, the corner.
How is that possible?
They right around there, subway ride away from each other.
But that's how these owners negotiate. See, it's about TV money again. I'll put a product on the field. I'm not gonna pay them that much. They just wanna be in the big leagues. They'll be competitive. They'll never win a World Series.
Detroit Lions.
But I'm gonna—
Oh, but I ain't say that.
But I'm gonna pocket all this money because I'm not chasing a World Series championship.
No, I'm packing the stadium.
There are clubs that want to do that. Let them have at it.
My memorabilia doing it. And I'm looking at the football comparison where the real estate agent that ended up buying, former football player, ended up buying the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Oh, Jerry Jones. And oil said, tycoon as well.
Yep. And it went, the Dallas Cowboys went from being the actual cowboy to that star.
Yep.
Up to the star being the logo. And that star being some image of America. And he made it real estate, all about real estate. He made a football team all about real estate.
Yeah, his marketing, whoever he had doing the marketing, did a masterful job, right? America's team. Man, I could care less about the Dallas Cowboys, but there are millions of people that do. Yeah. And they are the most, they're the richest team in the NFL, by far.
They haven't won a Super Bowl since probably 93.
It's been a long time.
94 or something, yeah. Yeah, so
it's marketing.
It's marketing and just having that perspective of seeing where it's going. But like you said, in baseball, it's marketing. It's marketing, marketing, marketing. What's the plan? Who we going to pay?
Yep.
And who we going to give minimum wage? And that's all we going to do. And
that's it. And that's the fight. That's what the fight is about. The players, the union, wants to increase that minimum of $600,000 for the year, which is still a great rate, right? But yet,
but how many games though in baseball?
163.
Man, nah, it ain't no great rate. I'll be out there 163 times. I gotta be out there.
Yeah, but then there are guys that's making that $4.17 million.
I know. So it's okay. Like, you got to get me closer to that. At least give me $1 million to be out there.
That's what they're trying to do. Yeah, like the NBA. What's the veteran minimum in the NBA? If you're a vet and you playing like in the NBA.
800 something.
2 million.
What's 2 million now?
2 million.
Oh, I'm chilling.
The minimum for a veteran, and they give you,
that's a veteran. You got 5 years. 5 years, yeah.
Something like
5
that.
5 years in.
So regardless of where you land at or what you had in your previous contracts.
But league minimum, if you ain't reached the veteran, you get like $875,000.
Something like that, probably, yeah.
But to sit on the bench, hey, I take that, but if I'm playing on a team, he's gonna give me the minimum.
Yeah, I'm a daily starter.
Yeah,
I'm starting every day. Come on, dog.
He go $800,000.
Yeah,
you playing next to somebody
because you got to remember now.
Deal.
The 600 is gonna be taxed, right? And 9 times out of 10, you got an agent. So in all actuality, it's all said and done. That 600 is probably really more like 300, 350, at best. Yeah, because that's taxed as well. So, those guys are not making as much money as you would think they are.
Yeah, I want to share what's going on in March when it comes to the money calendar of 22. It says shareholders look for proxy forms to arrive prior to the upcoming annual meetings.
Yep.
So that's that paperwork you be getting in the mail, right?
Yeah.
When they say, oh, these are your stocks. This is the
We voted for the board of directors.
Yeah, big old thick piece of. Yep. Envelope, big old envelope come in when I get it.
Who are we going to use for our accountants?
And they get it to all the shareholders.
If you own one share.
You get a big old thing.
Yeah, and of course everybody trying to send electronically. Yeah. Not, send your proxy electronically.
Yeah, I get it electronically now, but I remember getting the paper ones. It was like 40 pages.
And they have, a lot of them have resulted in fights, right? Yeah. The fights on the board because one group says, okay, we got an offer over here on the table that a company wants to come in and buy us for $3 billion. You got another group over here saying, nope, we have, our product lines or what have you is really coming into play. We need to stay the course. The company's going to be worth a whole lot more money in 5 years. So they start fighting, and then they try to get to the voters, the stockholders, to get them to vote in favor of them, so they can make the moves to sell the company or retain the company. So a lot of times this stuff goes on. We never even see it. But there are a lot of boardroom fights when it comes to the direction of the company, how they should manage it. And a lot of times they use these proxies to get to the shareholders in order to vote for certain individuals on the board of directors to stay there so they can get what they want out of it.
Wow. So then
interesting.
Look, March 13th, which is coming up, it says – tax filing deadline is about a month away. If you need help from a pro, head to www.natptax.com or naea.org for a certified public accountant and enroll agents. Must pass competency exams and can represent you before the IRS if you're audited. Look, I'm going to say this again. Go ahead and let somebody that's doing your taxes that's not competent and pass some exams to do taxes.
Yep.
Because when it's time the IRS to hit you, they're going to hit you by yourself.
Yeah.
You can't call your accountant who did it because you let somebody do it. Well, you only the sole person that did it. They did your taxes, and they tell you to sign all these paperwork, and their name ain't on nothing as a provider.
They're taking the information that you provided them with to do
risk.
Your taxes. So.
But when you get somebody that's certified to pass that exam, they on the hook to say, I'm licensed and I'm doing this for you. So if you are audited, they're able to help you in that process for those years.
Yep.
So make sure you got somebody that's licensed. And the last day, Tony, is March 15th. If your employer didn't provide an extension, the grace period to deplete your health care flexibility planning spending account ends today. If you get an extension, you'll have until December 31st to use the funds for out-of-pocket health expenses. And that's good money, or you can flip it and invest it in an account. That's what I've seen, too.
Yeah, you can use it. It just becomes a taxable event. Because right now, you get to spend that money for your health care services. But if you don't and you keep it, then it's considered income.
I want to end on this Access for All. They moved the date back to March 19th for the construction trades. Make sure you check my page, check my Facebook page. I know we got it on our MCEC page, but it's for the construction trades. Fill it out. They'll contact you about a potential job of being an apprentice for the construction trades. So that's our show today. I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.